I'm going to do my sermon a little different today. I'm going to have some help if I can get a little bit of help.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to ask if Sister Smith, I'll ask you to get ready to read 43 of Isaiah, verses 7 through 13.
7 through 13.
And I'll tell you when to read. Yours is going to be first.
All right.
Deacon Smith, I want you to ask you to read Job 36, 26, and then go to Job 38, and verses 4, 8, and 12.
My Lord.
36 of Job, 36, 26, and then 38, 4, 8, and 12.
Amen.
Okay. And Deacon Holloman, I'm going to ask you to read Job 40, 10, and Psalms 8, 3, and 4. And I'll tell you when to read each one of them, okay? This is Psalms 8, verses 3 and 4, and Job 40, 10, okay? And that's, I need those to try to do what I'm asking God to let me do today.
Amen.
God be glorified. Let's pray. Father, God, we thank you again and again. So God, calm our racing hearts. Ease our troubled minds. And Lord, we'll be ready to receive and to hear your word. This is not Reverend Hall's word. It's not Reverend Marshall's word. It's not Deacon Smith's word. This is your word. And I'm asking you in the name of Jesus to make it clear as the noonday sun.
Yes.
That Lord, everyone could hear and understand what the word is saying to us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now bless us, God, to receive these truths. Live upon them, act upon them, and let them work in our lives. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
And we say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So first I'm gonna ask Deacon Smith to do 43, 7 through 13.
Amen. Amen. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is true. Mm-hmm. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me.
Yes.
I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior.
Yes.
I have declared and have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Mm-hmm. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it?
Amen. Thank you. Well read. Amen. Praise God. We're talking about the greatness of God this afternoon.
The greatness.
God is greater than the word great. Mm-hmm. In other words, we have not the true vocabulary to talk about how good and how great he is.
That's good.
Our words are not applicable.
That's right. That's
to right. Tell somebody of what this word is trying to convey to us.
That's right.
That's why the scripture says, he said, my ways are higher than your ways. Says, you can't understand me. As a matter of fact, when he gets into Job, he talks about how Job, where were you when I was doing this? See,
yeah.
We can't understand God. God is way above our comprehension.
Yes, sir.
And so for us to say how great he is, it's like the tree wing, the tree limbs blowing in the breeze. Mm-hmm. The tree limbs are blowing in the breeze, and they're talking about the glory of God, but they can't say it no better than that. Mm-hmm. That's all they got is that to show that I was created by God. The trees now.
Yeah.
Their limbs are blowing, and who would know, and they're just showing the praises of God, how he created them out of nothing.
Nothing.
He's so great that we cannot, the word is not defining how great he is.
Uh-huh.
It's limitations on his, we limitate his greatness when we say he's great.
Amen.
Because we cannot express it.
That's right.
That's why Paul, when he said one time, I went up into the heaven of the holy heavens, and he said, I could not tell you what I saw.
Yeah.
I saw things that I can't express it to you. So I didn't even write it in the book because I don't know what it is. I just tell you that's there. Hallelujah. That's just how great he is. His greatness goes beyond our understanding. Solomon, who was the son of David, was blessed with more riches than any king had had before. And the Queen of Sheba had come to visit and talk about what his riches were. And she said, the half has not been told.
Yeah.
In other words, I seen the riches of Solomon, and I can't tell half of it. And we don't even know about it. So if that kind of expression is given for the things of Solomon, what about the things of God? The half has not been told. This can't tell us. This book, this Bible, does not tell us all that who he is.
Mm-hmm.
It's given for us to understand the best we can. So listen to this. This is the part that really pushes me. And if we do not truly understand who he is, that signifies why we need grace.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Grace.
Amen.
Covers us from a multitude of sins.
Yes.
In other words, we can't live perfectly enough because we can't even understand enough. So when we do our wrong, we have grace to cover us for our wrong.
Thank you, God.
Because he is so indescribable to the man and woman that calls themselves children of God.
That's right.
We don't understand it.
Yeah.
Sister Smith read in verse 7, he says, everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory.
Yeah.
Everyone is called by my name. In other words, when you become a child of God, you're not called by God's name if you're not a child of God.
Uh-huh.
When you become a child of God, you are now called by his name, a Christian. Born again believer, saved person. You're called by that name, that mighty name of God. Those who don't know him like that, they're not called by that. They're called the children of Satan. Now, one thing we always remember is that we were once in that pile, weren't we?
Yes, sir.
In the scrap heap of children of Satan.
That's right.
We were lost in our sin. We were not worthy. But it's amazing how many people, once they get saved, forget where they come from.
Yes.
Come on. They forget where we come from, that we used to be there.
All right.
Only mercy and grace changed it and moved me from the degree of damnation to the degree of salvation. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Only that did it. Except for God's mercy, you and I would still be in that heap.
That's right.
Thank him for giving us a mind that says we need to be saved.
Oh my God. Thank you.
My oldest son called me the other day. He has a Bible study group.
Uh-huh.
The one that lives in Houston, Texas.
Uh-huh.
He has a Bible study group. About 7 or 8 people across the country. If you were here in Delaware, if you were in New York. And you know, he came out of the what do you call that? The right Jews or something they call themselves. He came out of that stuff. And I used to try to, hey, look, get this straight. You know, I used to try to press that. And for a while, God just told me, back off.
Back off, my sir.
Back off. Let him do what he's doing.
Let him do. That's right.
And now he's come to the truth. He called me up and said, Dad, says, I think I know now who Jesus really is.
All right, yeah.
I said, well, you already knew. You just didn't want to accept it. You already knew. He said, no. He said, but I know now. I know now through the scriptures that Jesus is God. I found that out. I said, but tell me the verses that you found that out by. And he reads a couple of them. I said, don't say what I told you about. You just didn't believe it. He said, oh, Dad, leave me alone. But he has gotten it now, so now it's in his Bible study. He has come by studying the scriptures and put him in a page or a position to see who God is. Without that, he would never have gotten there. But see, I've been praying for him, so the Bible tells me clearly, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he get old, he will not depart from it. I'm seeing that coming to fruition. I can forget about him then. He knows who God is. That's exciting to me. And the fact that he has taken this urge on to be a Bible study kind of leader group person tells me that he's moving in the right direction. So I'm praising God. I'm seeing the power of God in all so many ways, and it's just overwhelming.
Yes, sir.
Ain't God great, church?
God is great.
Ain't he great? I know he's great. Now I'm going to ask Deacon Smith to read Job 36:26. So give him time. Give us all time to get there, Deacon. Job 36. And we're going to start at verse 26. Wait a minute. Yeah. 30. What am I?
26.
Job 36:26. Yeah. All right. Read from well, just 26 through 28. Just read that there, Job, if you don't mind.
Behold, God is great, and we know him not.
So read that again.
Behold, God is great, and we know him not.
Stop right there, please. He's great, and we recognize his greatness, but we still don't know him.
I understand that.
And that's something.
Yes,
we do not know God. Even though we know he's great.
Yeah.
We can't, that's what I'm saying, it's beyond our comprehension. Go ahead, Nathan.
Yes, sir.
Neither can the number of his years be searched out.
You can't even find out how old he is, how long he's been existing. There's no book to tell you that.
Amen.
For he maketh small the drops of water. Mm-hmm. They pour down rain according to the vapor thereof. Which the clouds do drop and distill upon man abundantly.
Now, when he talk about the water, he's talking about, you know, the oceans have so much water that they're only filled by drops.
Uh-huh.
Drops of rain, and then the ocean stays full of water. And it's just, what, coming through drops of rain. It's not like somebody, God is pouring a whole bucket of water into the oceans.
You're right.
It's just coming through drops.
Uh-huh.
And yet he's keeping the oceans and the lakes and the streams full of water by drops of rain.
Yes,
he has a system set up that they go back up and they evaporate the vapors.
Yeah.
Talking about the vapors come back up and become rain and they come back down from the clouds.
God,
what a wonderful plan God had. Tell me he ain't great somebody. Oh my. All right. You did that right.
I did 27.
Yeah, he did.
I did.
I want you to go to 38, yeah. 38:4. So take your time, folks. Let's find it. He's going to do 4, 8,
and 12.
And 12. Wait a minute. Just read 4 through 12. It makes it easy.
Yeah.
Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who had laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who has stretched the line upon it?
Yeah.
Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy.
Yeah.
Or who shut up the sea with doors? When it break forth, as if it had issued out of the womb. When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and the thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further.
Yeah.
And here shall thy proud ways be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and hast caused the day spring to know his place?
Amen. Amen. Now this is some powerful word. He's letting Job. See, Job was coming through some rough times.
Yes, he was.
That's right.
Now, it wasn't that Job was a bad man. Job was a good man. Yeah. Bible said he was good. There was none like him.
Right.
Yeah. He was the most rich man and all that stuff. God blessed the man. But when he began to go through the troubles that God allowed him to come upon him. See, in other words, Job didn't deserve it, but God allowed him to come to show Satan that there was somebody who still worships me.
That's right. Uh-huh.
There's somebody who still trusts me.
Yeah.
His name is Job.
Job.
Sometimes God's going to let you and I walk in the shoes of Job. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're going to go through some stuff that we think, we know we ain't did nothing wrong. Why me, God? That's what we begin to say. But see, it's to prove the glory of God.
Yes.
To show the power of God. And to show the world who God is.
Yes.
And especially Satan. Show him.
Right.
There's still a remnant that loves
him. Remnant. Yes, sir.
And obedient to him. Mm-hmm. So here we have, beginning at verse 4 here. He says, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? And you think about the earth, the foundations of the earth, you and I would say, where are they? In other words, what is the foundation? That's something where stuff rests upon. In other words, that's what's holding it in place. What holds the earth in place? The sun. The sun has its magnetic pole.
Right.
And it keeps the earth rotating.
Rotate.
And it doesn't run, earth doesn't run into Pluto, doesn't run into Jupiter, doesn't run into Mars. It has its own, they have their own circle around the earth, around the sun. They all have that.
Right.
The sun has their foundation so that they will not lose their track. Who put that there?
God.
Other words, we would be, see if the earth loses so much degree of temperature, we die. If the temperature on the earth goes up to 150 degrees, our air conditioner is rough a little bit, but it's over with for us.
Only a couple of hours.
It's going to be trouble. Yeah. God, but God has placed that it all these years, it has maintained this temperature.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, where were you when I laid that? See, that's Job. What do you really know? You really don't know much, Job, because you weren't even here when I put that in. That's just one thing. He says, who had laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Do you know who put these measurements in place? Do you know what they are, Job?
No.
Who has stretched the line upon it? That's when you do a line stretch, especially like a building. You're trying to survey, or you're trying to find out the correct, what direction is going, or how straight it is.
Yes.
You have a board, you put a string down on it,
yep,
and put a level on it, and that board will tell you, tip it left or up or down tells you whether it's level or not.
Yeah.
So that's done by the string. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? How are these things maintained from the earth? How are they maintained? Who put those foundations there? And how are they maintained? Who is it connected to the earth? You don't know that, Joseph. Then he says, when the morning stars sang together. Now this is where that was a time when Satan, the Bible says that the stars of heaven came together and they met in heaven with God. And Satan came. And God asked Satan, who told you to come? You intruding. Who told you to come to this meeting? And that's when he sent Job to be tested from that. But these suns, these morning stars, are these folk who are God's leaders, angels and different groups of the angels are there, and God was telling them the plan, you know what I mean? And so he came together with them, and that's why he said, you weren't there, Job. He said, the sons of God shouted for joy. The angels, when they came, and the men of God that came, they all came and they shouted for joy. You know, several occasions, Moses was on a connection with God. God met him in the mountains. See, that's one of those meeting periods. Job, where were you?
My Lord.
You weren't there. Or who shut up the sea with doors? Now that's a metaphor there, like the ocean has doors on it.
Yeah.
The ocean don't have no doors, but
right.
it don't overflow, does it?
Right.
Because
no.
God is keeping it and it's under control. The doors are the power of God.
Yes, sir.
Says, or who shut up the sea with doors when it break forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud, the garment thereof, and thick darkness, a swaddling band for it. He made those the clouds that keep the waters under control and the right amount of water, that they don't bring too much water. They bring it in a certain way to maintain it. Yeah, we have floods here and there. But a lot of damage is done for man. What we have done, what we're not, especially the carbon monoxide that we're giving out. So let me get to another one. Look at verse 12. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days and caused the day spring to know his place? Did you know when the morning should come, that the sun knows when to come up and when to go down?
Yeah.
And all this? Do you know that? Did you have any command of that, Job? You ain't got no reason to talk or question God. That's what he's telling us. Job, you can't question me. You weren't here when none of this stuff was going on. And you got a right to say, why is this happening to you? Because I said so. That's all God had to say. And that goes on. I'm going to, at this time, go to Job 40, Deacon Hobbs at 40:10. And read how about 40:10 through 12.
Everybody ready? Psalm 10.
No, Job 40. Job 40, 10. Yeah, I got you. Psalms. I got you. Psalms in there. That's Psalms is 8 and 3 and 4.
Job 40.
Yeah. Start at 9. 49. Yeah, and it goes through 12. You don't mind.
Okay. Job 49. How's that? Has thou an arm like God? Or cast out thunder with a voice like him?
Do you have the power of God? The power of God is his arm. You know, that's why Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father. Mm-hmm. Showing he's in a position of power with God.
Yes.
So the power of God, he says, do you have an arm like that? All right, you have the power like that.
Deck thyself now with majestic and excellence, and array thyself with glory and beauty, and cast aboard the rage of thy wrath, and behold everyone that is proud and abase him. Look on everyone that is proud and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place.
Good. No. He says, cast abroad the reed. First, deck thyself now with majesty and excellence. In other words, make yourself look good. Can you make yourself with majesty and excellence? No. That's a waste of time for you to try. You're not like I am. You can't do that. God is saying, I am majesty. I am excellency. I'm all of that. But you can't be none of that. All right. Then he goes on to say, cast abroad the rage of thy wrath. In other words, wait a minute here. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath. In other words, God can have his wrath upon you and me, and he can do it from where he is. He don't have to come down and get right in front of us and cast his rage upon us, his wrath upon us. His wrath can come wherever he decides to send it. He's sinning against Satan so many times, and Satan still, you know, he didn't destroy him because he has an ultimate plan for Satan. Satan is like the broom that sweeps up all the dirt. That's who he's like. God is leaving him for the end to sweep up the dirt. In other words, those who fall on the wayside are the dirt, and Satan is, they're all coming down with Satan. He's sweeping them all in. He's used as a dirty broom for God. I had to say it another way than that, but that's the way I see it.
Go ahead, sir.
That's what he is. The dirty broom for God. God's going to pick all the good parts out and leave the dirt there, and they're going to be swept into damnation. All right. Look on everyone that is proud and bring him low. In other words, can you do that joke? When a man who thinks he's so much, can you knock him down a page? No, you can't do that joke. You can't even do it for yourself. And tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust there too, and bind their faces in secret. Can you do that to those who are wrong? In other words, give wrong, men out mercy for who it's supposed to be, but men out wrong, men out power and wrath for those who need it. Can you do that, Job? No. In other words, he's describing how great God, this is how great God is. You never think about this, but he can give individual punishment and not move from his throne. All over the world. All over the universe. Wherever there is, even if there's any life, wherever it is, I don't know. God is able to do all of that.
Yes, he does.
All right, now hold on one second. Let's go to Psalms 8. I hope you're online, got your Bibles with you. If not, you're going to be in a little trouble. But we'll get you next Sunday if you don't get you this Sunday. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to read 1, 2, 3, and 4. And the last is 9. Read that.
Psalm, verse 1. Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens.
Wait a minute. Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name.
Yeah.
The name of God is a name of excellence.
Yeah.
Jehovah God.
Jehovah God.
Is a name of excellence. That's why I never heard of nobody naming their children Jehovah. Right. Nobody, people, even the devil would not do that. You would bring some trouble to yourself.
True,
that name is a powerful, excellent name that humans could not endeavor to hold. You ever heard anybody name their child Jehovah?
No.
I would dare them to do that. I would say you're doing wrong if you decide to try to do something.
That's right, sir.
But it wouldn't surprise me some of these non-believers would do something like that. That's a crazy person too. And his glory is above the heavens. The glory of God. All right.
Verse 2. Out of the mouth of babe and suckling hast thou ordained strength because of thy enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Mm-hmm. When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thy house has ordained. Mm-hmm. What is man that thou mindful of him?
Mm-hmm.
And the son of man that thou visit him?
Mm-hmm.
For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels,
yes,
and hast crowned him with glory and honor.
Go to verse 9.
Okay. Thou madest him.
No, 9.
Verse 9. Okay. O Lord, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. All
right. It says here, look, go back to verse 2. Out of thy mouth of babes and suckling hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies. In other words, God has been pronounced who he is from people who don't know it. Babies. We are. Children of God.
Children.
We're babies in God. We don't know. We can call ourselves grown adults, but the knowledge of God, we don't know much about it. And we know what the book says, but we're still way below it. So it's like out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. God has been proclaimed through us, out of the mouth of us who are babes and sucklings. We're so young, so inferior to God. And yet he has given strength through us speaking about how good he is. And he says, they strip because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. So with that, he can keep those who are enemies under control. Through you and me. Through the word of God. Just through our mouths. We can speak and make enemies halt.
Well,
the Bible says, speak against Satan and he will what?
Flee
from you.
Yes.
That's the mouth of a babe. We don't have the power of Satan. But we can put Satan at halt by the words that we speak because of what God has given us.
Yeah.
Out of the mouth of suckling and babes. That's all we are. When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers. You think about that. Just think about the heavens and how large they are.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about the fingers of God controlling, making these things. Man, that's beyond our understanding.
Yeah.
How his hands could make such things. But he's done it through the Spirit. He spoke it into existence.
Yeah.
He didn't have to use his hands, the truth of it is, but those things that he uses to make it are his hands. He has made this stuff available. He has made all things available through speaking and making it. He made the, that was no world, but he made it come into play. He made it come into existence. God, by what? Speaking.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke us to existence. That's how we got here.
Right.
Through the plan of bringing up our families and stuff. God has spoken into us. Man, that's to me, that's just amazing.
Yeah.
And verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Thy name is over all the earth. God's name is. It's a name of excellency.
Yeah.
Even those who try to disdain it, said, I don't believe in it and all that.
Uh-huh.
The truth is, when they say that in their minds and hearts, I know they're feeling, Lord, don't strike me dead right now. I'm talking to them. Forgive me, God. You know, I know they are because they're afraid of God. They know they're wrong. But they, you know, there's nobody who does not believe that think that we came from some outer space stuff. They say that. But they know that we're too complex to be put together by the blowing up of the cloud, Big Bang theory, that everything's blown up and we came out of pieces and came together to be human beings. That's what they believe. That's what scientists believe. That's what they say they believe. You know that don't make sense.
No.
They know it don't make sense. But they put it out there because they're theorists. And they want to show that they have this knowledge and all this stuff. And there were so many scientists that were great that believed in God. But yet a lot of them don't. The one that that we had here in America, Einstein. He proved that we came from a force. That's what he said. Well, you and I know we came from God. Mm-hmm. That God is a force. Mm-hmm. You know, so whatever, however he puts that, he was trying to put that out there. But his fellow scientists still think it was some of them just this one of these big implosion of a big dark hole.
Yeah.
Now that dark hole came human life. Right.
Yeah,
right. Right. The devil is a liar. But I'm just talking about how good God is, how great God is. Now, I'm close. God is, his greatness requires adoration. God's greatness requires adoration. How do we adore God? When we get down on our knees and pray. When we just tell God how good he is and how wonderful he's been. We are adoring God. We tell God how much we love him. We are adoring God. We tell God, thank you for the many blessings. We are adoring God.
Amen.
And then we praise God. This is all part of us adoring God. We praise him.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Praise him in the morning. Song said, praise him in the noon
day.
Yeah. Praise him all day long.
Yeah.
That's what we do. We praise God because he deserves to be praised. Because he is the great I am.
Amen.
His greatness also requires us to trust him.
Yes.
Since he's so great, we gotta trust him. Lean upon him. Know that God is God and that there's none like him. Lean upon him, trust in him. And we depend on him. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I depend on God.
I know.
Yes.
You know, I know when COVID was coming up in its big heyday when it first started.
Yeah.
And I know all these people not going to work. I said, Lord, keep the paycheck coming. You know, because it's going to be a rough one. You know, keep us food on our table.
Yeah.
Keep some people working that they can provide food for us. Just think of everything shut down in America. Huh? We've been in some big trouble.
Yeah.
But thank God he maintained even through all of that. And you got still some of them who don't believe that stuff is real. His greatness requires us to worship him. So I said three things there. His adoration and his trust and his worship. And there's none like God. God deserves to be worshiped. God requires us to trust him. If you can't trust God, and who can you trust?
Who can
you trust?
Nobody.
You can't trust nobody. Mm-hmm. If you can't trust God.
Because
only he and he alone can make things come to fore.
Yes.
We can do our little bit, but it's we can't be there with
a little bit.
That's all. His greatness was put on display through his son. His greatness was humble. His greatness humbled itself to take on the form of a man. How great he was to be able to come and to become the Son of God, born of a virgin. How great he took himself now. This is God. He took himself from himself and made himself a baby in the womb of Mary. He did that with himself. To be born and to become a man. I don't think I'm clear what I'm telling you. I don't know if it's clear. I don't think it's clear what I just told you. I'm going to try to make it clear since tomorrow. God in heaven was already in heaven. He was not just born that day that Jesus was born.
No, sir.
He took himself and put himself into the womb of Mary. That's why Mary could not have a man. She only could have God.
Uh-huh.
And God came into the womb of Mary as a baby.
Uh-huh.
God, the God of our salvation, and made himself come out and became this Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah. That's what he did, y'all. That's why Mary could not have a man. The man was God. Yes, sir. Somebody talk to me. Talk back to me.
Go ahead now.
Go ahead, sir.
That's the power of God. The greatness of God. That he will take himself and humble himself and put himself into the womb of a woman. And then become sin for all mankind. I'm telling you, that's the excellence of God.
Yes.
I'm telling you, that's something.
Yes, it is.
I also wrote down here, he succumbed to the wickedness that lost its first love. All of the wickedness that's in the world, he allowed that to take him, and he died for all of that wickedness.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he succumbed to man.
Yeah.
That's why the scripture said he thought it not robbery to be equal to God, because he was God.
Yeah.
But God took himself and succumbed and became evil and take on the evilness of the world to die for sinner like you and me. Telling you this. Isn't God great?
Yes, he is.
Isn't he great? I don't know how great he is, but I'm I try to show you the greatness of God.
The greatness.
And I failed. I failed. I know I did. But I want you, it to me, it's just something that we have to share and remind ourselves of who he is.
Yes,
that he's beyond us.
Yes, he is.
Beyond our understanding.
Yes.
Beyond our comprehension. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Give God a hand, praise church. Yes. God is so good, church, yes, that we cannot tell it all.
We can't tell
how good he is.
Just
but we just did a little bit. And just tell somebody how good God is in your own feeble way. But I know you're going to understate it. You're going to understate it because we can't explain who he is. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, bless us is our prayer. Bless our understanding and comprehension. And Lord, we might be reminded of who you are, how good you are, what you've been to us. Now, God, bless all of those who are on our prayer list. Bless all those who are on the line today. Bless our membership far and wide, wherever they might be. Lead and guide them. Now, God, if there's somebody who doesn't know you as Savior, please open their hearts to know you as Savior. Bless them, God. Let them know who we are here trying to usher you into their lives. Now, God, we thank you, we praise you, we adore you. None of him who can keep us from falling and present us faultless before his soon coming. Be glory, majesty, power, and dominion, henceforth, now, forever. All God's children say, amen.
Amen.
Amen.